I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Vipassana meditation. This meditation is non-religious, non-dogmatic. It's about purification of the mind, ultimate goal being ascension or liberated. Liberated from misery, from anguish, ups and downs. Repetitive cycles, habit patterns, and free to live and flow, accepting life as it is. A lot of meditations, they call your attention to do certain activities, thoughts, repetitive patterns, chants, breathing techniques, visualization exercises. But all these are still activating in the brain, so they may help you. I get help from some different things I've listened to and guided meditations to help tune my manifestation process. But when it comes to doing the deeper work, the stuff that's beyond the mind, beyond the conscious mind, locked away, some little compartment that we don't even know is there. And it's controlling certain behaviors and aspects of our character on a daily basis. So, the point of interest that I'm going to speak about is embodiment, not visualizing outside of your body. But embodying. What does embodying mean? To embody. It means to move into sensation. The word is not in mind, it's embody. In mind, embody. So to embody something is to tune into it, tune into your sensations. Turn into the body. In my view, the body's nervous system, all of the nerves all over that are sending signals, feeling touch, all that data that comes through, it's electrical. But the entire existence is energy. So, in my view, how I see it is the energy is interacting with your nervous system, and how you have it tuned is what you can receive. Electrical impulses from all the frequencies and from the quantum and the energy level, like your thoughts that are energetic. But you can't grab them. That's the reference I like to use. Because then you can get a view into the multidimensional you. The way a fish is in water, we are in air. Air is still a thing. They're still active, even though you can't see it. Unless it's got dirt in it, then you're seeing the dirt, but you still can't see the air. But it's touching you, and it's also energy. There's a constant connection to the all through this energetic field. This is where our creative sense, our creative touch, what we create in this world comes from. This energetic field of all things. That are all connected. So, like if a computer was connected to all data in the entire world, it would have access to any sort of question of that physical world and what's in that data. It could have access to all of it because it's all connected in a network. Well, in that natural energetic existence that is, that slows down to be the molecular existence. Everything being connected electrically, like a network, means that if you're aware of it and you learn to get control and master your mind, that being in the moment in a receiving state would give you access to anything you would need. It will not give you directions or instructions to man-made things, but you might have intuitions and insights on how it may work. But all of the natural wisdom, all of the information of, let's say, what is real, objectively true, always is and always will be, is universal. All of this stuff is the type of things that we will begin to know by mastering mind and moving into sensation. Because that system of sensation is the system that connects into the grid of all things. There is no disconnection ever in the body. That happens in the frameworks of the mind. So what Vipassana does is it teaches you to master the mind, to tame the wild animal of this brain we have, or this inner quantum cosmic computer that is continuously, energetically flowing and moving, changing. And we have two eyes on our face, but we have an inner eye too, and the inner awareness of what's going on within us. And we have people who've chosen to create ways to influence from the outside to the inside, and change and program human beings, man and woman, changing their natural ways. A lot of people get caught up in having issues and maybe being completely rich but totally empty, completely successful at whatever they've set out to do. But they're still missing something and they're not happy. It's not a constant. It's only the highs and the lows, when you're succeeding and when you're not, when it's easy and when it's tough. But reacting is what brings us into that state of being of highs and lows, to the extreme, where it's rough to deal with emotionally and mentally, because the thoughts create chemicals. The chemicals are felt by the sensations of the body, and then the reaction, the untamed mind, the unpurified mind has the subconscious protective mechanisms built through their experience so far in this lifetime. And these things will come up to protect, and reaction is what creates karma. So that cycle, that habit pattern, it locks us into manifesting our life in a certain way, because these root patterns have a frequency or a tuning. I like to call it a frequency to them, how frequent something occurs in there, in the pattern. It's almost like what band of frequency, like a radio station. All of us are a math problem. What you do and what you choose to do, what you think and what you feel, all of that adds up as positives and negatives in your life. And if it just ends to zero, then you feel empty every day. You still don't feel fulfilled. Those are habit patterns, thoughts, reactions, actions, and desires. All of those combined are creating a resonance, which will resonate with attracting certain things, certain people, certain outcomes, based upon the alchemy of what is in your equation and what you choose to do with it. There's a reason we've been given so much to think about, so much education based upon maybe things that don't really help us in this real world, but also misdirect real histories. There's a reason that we have so much information at a high rate in today's world. And that's because to keep your mind busy on the outside so it can't do the natural inner work. Imagine we're in a different time before technology, a couple hundred years ago even, and we were living somewhere and we had time to sit. And we didn't have a TV in our face, a phone in our face. We had nature, we had the wind. We had the natural sounds and occurrences wherever we were. And so that was tuning us in with our natural self. But as the unnatural began to take over and distract the mind of man and woman, the unnatural results begin to show. A lot of misery, a lot of issues and problems and behavioral mutations in society from what would be normally connected into love and very telepathic to where we all knew what is continuing to go on energetically. Versus the intuition being stifled, our connections being distorted, weakened between man and woman, man and man, woman and woman. All of this stuff happens within the mind. The disconnection from the natural happens in programming, in habit patterns. Programming from family, programming from schooling, programming from media, programming from friends, programming from self. All these things happen in the mind. So if we're struggling in any way, shape, or form, if we try to think our way out of that web, we're going to get ourselves tangled even more. I like to tell people, try to arm wrestle yourself and see who wins. If you win, you know you're lying. So you can't think yourself out of the web. The resonance that no longer suits you, that is causing disharmony, can be transcended. Once we get mastery over the mind, by moving into sensation of the body and using our attention to focus on that versus watching the inner stream of thoughts, watching the inner pictures bounce from one place to the other, the things we think about changing from minute to minute, affecting the way we feel. When we move into sensation beyond that for a while, it gives us a polarity. We're working on being the master of our conscious self. The mind is not the master. You are. That means you are not the mind. You're not the one that is identified with thoughts. All the thoughts you're having aren't you. You've had all kinds of thoughts, and if that was you, it'd be pretty interesting, wouldn't it? But your thoughts aren't you. You are the one that's watching the thoughts. You are the one watching the thoughts. And what people don't teach very often, at least from what I can see, is that you can also not just watch them, but you can change them into what you want. How are you going to do that? How are you going to feel more natural and feel more aligned and calm, connected and present? There's sensation in your nostrils when you breathe with your mouth shut, in and out of your nose. And if you do that with your natural breath, not the big breath we take in to get started or before we say something, just whatever speed it wants to be, if it's shallow, if it's deep, no matter what it wants to be, you want it that you want your natural self to be in existence, and you want to give room for that. And how you're going to do that is by allowing your body to breathe how it wants to. Your body knows its natural state. It's in the rhythm of your natural breath. And so is the moment. That's what gives us the attention point to stay present in the moment for long periods. And while the mind tries to wander and take over and tell you what it wants you to do and think and see and feel by what it's producing, those habit patterns, those programs, you're going to come back to the breath and back to the sensation and feeling the sensation. We're transcending the mind, the thought process, into the sensation. Natural breath, whatever pace it wants to be, no control of it. Your job is just to focus on that sensation of the air moving in and out of your nostrils. And working on that stage is called anapana, transcendence of mind. You're learning to transcend the mind into sensation. Now, all sensations are equal. They're a form of communication to your body. And we have assigned reactions to these sensations. And what we're doing is transcending the mind, is also transcending reaction. And that reaction is what creates karma, what is from the habits, from the programs, without even thinking. It's a way of defense, defending. And it can cause some issues. So when we transcend all this, we're no longer watering it. We're no longer telling it how important it is and how much we appreciate it being there for us on a daily basis by utilizing it. So the old programs begin to die off because they're not used. And it doesn't take long. It could be a really short period where a lot of changes happen because what's out of integrity within you ends up leaving, dissolving, and leaving wisdom behind about it. That's the beautiful thing, too. As these things die off, they leave behind the wisdom. What's real will always be here. What's true will always be true. We don't have to continuously think about things for it to be attached to reality. That attachment is actually what's causing a lot of misery. Once you do this exercise and you understand that the mind is something other than you, then you can start to use your mind like you sit behind at a keyboard and start creating something. You can use it that way. You can use it by, instead of being in an autonomous car driving you around, you now have the wheel and the pedals and the gears. And the gas is your motivation, your desire to create whatever you want in your life. The more time we spend in this polarity of thought, or observing, the more we give time to the force of nature and its natural process of purification, of removing what's out of integrity to keep itself in integrity. The mind is a strange thing, being that it's programmable from an outside source. So transcending it is you taking control of your life and letting all those programs die, and you becoming this in the state that you were when you were born, before any language, before any imprints, before any programming, before any beliefs. When you were born and your eyes opened up, you cried out, you looked around, you sat with mom or laid with mom. You were just so happy to be alive. You had undying curiosity. What is this world I'm in? And you have the ultimate ability to accept life as it is and surrender. But then you didn't just stay in that state. You began to learn to use your body and move around and do things. Talk. Cause some havoc, probably. But you began to discover the world and what you can do with your body. What we do in Vipassana is we rebirth that, but with the most conscious mind you could have. We're dissolving the programming, dissolving the habit patterns of the mind by transcending mind and not giving it any energy, any light, any attention, any water for it to grow. What does happen when the chattering mind begins to die and peace begins to be in place? Is the waters are settling calmly to where what is beneath can begin to rise. And one thing at a time will rise from the depths, the deepest depths of your life in this lifetime and maybe past lives. Most likely, it will be around what is going on in this lifetime. And these things will come up. And your job is to stay with the sensation. Recognize what's coming up. Sometimes it's emotional. I've had times where I've cried and water's flowing down my shirt and down to my belt. And just keep staying with the breath as the storm is brewing. Go back to the sensation. Go back to the sensation in your nostrils. Go back to the sensation. Continue to, and this energy that's arisen will now pass away. But the wisdom you will gain while it's passing and upon its passing is the wisdom you were supposed to get in the first place for whatever comes up. And that's a purification of your inner world. It's what's out of integrity with what's real objectively, what's true objectively, with full accountability to self as co-creator, taking full accountability for what you can recognize. As the things keep dying off that come up, whatever these situations are, they're giving you major insight to what has been affecting your life and your patterning and your resonance and what you've attracted. Because other people have similar resonance, and so that other resonance is getting attracted to you. Because birds of a feather flock together. Like attracts like. Resonances in the same band, same type of music will be on the same radio type of radio station. So our job in transcending the mind is literally just to focus on the sensation. It's that simple. But it's also at the same time difficult because we have such a busy mind and the habit patterns are very strong and the programming is very strong. We feel like if we're going to let go of our thoughts at all, that we're going to lose something and we're going to lose our belief system. Well, the whole thing is that we want to tune into what objectively true. And what's objectively true will always be objectively true, whether I sit here and think about it or not. Once you've done Anapana for 40 hours, if I get enough interest, then I will put together a class and we'll teach Vipassana, which is the second stage. Once we have the mastery of the mind, we can keep it focused for long periods of time on sensation, we can move into the second stage. But at that stage, I would like to work with you if you chose. So if I get enough interest, we'll put together some classes so that I can guide people through Vipassana. Personal interaction is the best way. Then we'll transcend into the field of wisdom, Panya. Panya is where I've got the awareness that we are connected through our nervous system into the entire grid. Have you ever heard the term still waters run deep? That's nervous system is very calm. And so we're very connected to information that way that we need. Full abilities, restoring a natural connection, how our lives are naturally without them being distorted by programming, telling us that it's different than it actually is, keeping us focused on the outside. If you do this first thing in the morning when you wake up, and right before you go to bed, you will have maximum impact on your day and on your subconscious mind when you're sleeping. I often will notice my mind is wandering when I'm laying to go to bed or waking up. And if I'm still tired when I'm waking up, I'll do this while I'm laying there, go to my sensation to quiet my mind down so I can get some rest. Because your mind's quiet, you still can get in that deep, restful state. At night, when I'm going to bed, I do the same thing. I shut my brain down by going to the sensation and train it that no, I'm going into a very restful place right now. It's time for rest. And I move into my sensation and I choose that. I am the master of myself. I am choosing what my attention will do when I want it to. When you're learning Vipassana, it's better to sit up. Sit in the meditation pose. I put one hand facing upward on my lap, close to my belly, and my other hand on top of that hand, facing upward, right on top of the hand, close to the belly on the lap. And I just let them rest. Calmly rest. Sit up with your back straight as possible. Sometimes a small pillow or something like that can help lift up your tailbone to a better position. Find what works for you. It's not recommended to lay down when you're first doing this because it's easy to fall asleep. It's better to sit up if you can, but if you have pain, you can sit in a chair, sit on a couch, put your hands in the same way on your lap, faced upward on top of each other, right in the center, resting, and move into your sensation. You can do this while you're out in public with your eyes open once you get used to doing it. People don't know you have to do it, but when you feel anxiety, you feel nervousness, move into the sensation of your nostrils. Calm your nerve system. Take over. Drive your vehicle. Program yourself. You are the master of you. This is your body. This is your quantum self. This is your energy. You are who you are. I am. You are the master of self. You decide, you choose exactly how you want to feel when you want to feel it. It's a great tool for going through life and feeling different, feeling consistent. We still have feelings, we still have emotion, love, and frustration. It's just what we do with it is different. Because all sensations are equal. When you learn this practice, you can move to your nostrils when your body feels heat or any other sensation that arises in the body. You can move to your nostrils and wait instead of react. Wait until that calms down enough to where whatever reaction wants to happen goes away because the chemical production has changed. This is how we alchemize old habit patterns of reacting into new open patterns of conscious thinking and choice. This brings us to the moment. This allows us to have a rest, a rejuvenation, a reconnection to the reality that is. When we're done doing this meditation in Vipassana, we always honor ourself first, work with self, fill your cup, and then fill the cup of others. You are your responsibility. You're accountable to you. And you are your own master. You are your own programmer. So what we say to finish is, may I be happy, may I be peaceful, and may I be free, liberated, liberated, liberated. May all beings, physical and non-physical, in this existence, be happy. Be peaceful and be free. Liberated, liberated, liberated. That's how we end the meditation. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for listening and considering stepping into your own power, changing this life from within you. The more of us that step into our own power and take our own sovereign being into our own mastery, our own self under our own control, the faster this earth will change, and the quicker we will see that the future can be bright again. Doing our part is all we need to do. Each of us, our own individual work. That's how we change the world. We don't change the world by fighting wars. not in a good way. May you all be happy, may you be peaceful, and may you be free. Truly liberated, liberated, liberated. Thanks for listening. This talk was created by me, Casey Jones. You can find me at consciousnesstoday.com, as well as thenaturalself.com, and at conscious, the number 4, real, on X.